You know, we sang in a hymn as far as the Lord again has given his counsel, which he certainly did this morning as we had his word. We truly believe that he will again this afternoon, and we're just always grateful that that's who we trust in, that's who we put our faith in, that's we know that he is going to lead us. And that hymn writer said, he grasped our hands to lead us, one of the verses. And we are grateful that that's who we can always grasp. We know the Lord is always just, he's always just a prayer away. He's always just a thought there. That's just the wonderful security we have when there is that relationship that we have when we are fully committed, fully been cleansed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we're one of his children. What a wonderful, secure relationship we have when we know that the Lord is leading and guiding and directing us. So even though we live in the midst of lots of uncertainty, you know, in this world, but yet lots of things sometimes we're bewildered about. Sometimes we're confused about. Sometimes we wonder where things are going to go and all that sort of thing. But we know of the security we have of our great God in heaven. We can always look to him. We're one of his. We're one of his, and that's the most important thing, the most important relationship that we can establish, that we are attached to him. You know, I remember as a little boy one time at a big funeral, I got separated from my dad, and there was a whole bunch of strange faces, and finally I recognized one of the ministers, and I grabbed his hand because that was the one person, there was a lot of strangers that I knew. And I remember the feeling of peace that I had and safety that I had when I was grasping someone I knew's hand. And, you know, when we think about where we are today, we know that there is a God in heaven. There is a God that we look to. We grasp his hand and he's going to lead us. We have that security every day that we wake up, even though there may be lots of things we can't answer about all the social and economic and political the things that are changing constantly in our society. The one thing we know that God is real, he's true, he hasn't moved, he's always going to be there, and we're always just a prayer away from him. So let's look into his word again this afternoon and believing that there's a blessing that awaits for us. And we might read from the book of Judges here, which is open this afternoon, and just read a few verses from the second chapter of Judges, the second chapter of Judges. Angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, for I brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers, as I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? And wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from among you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it'll come to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto the children of Israel, the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, and the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord and he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered in their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which the Lord, which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And you know, isn't that sad? You wish that would be the only verse in the Old Testament that it says that. But there's probably some of you out here that know that, but there are probably dozens of times we read where the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Sometimes they came back, but then they dropped back and again did evil. They forsook the Lord of God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. What did they do? They followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them in the hands of their enemies round about. They couldn't any more longer stand before their enemies. And whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them evil, as the Lord said. And the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Greatly distressed for no reason at all. You know, sometimes we are distressed about lots of things in life, even though we're doing our very best in the service of God, but there are sometimes circumstances come upon us that cause us stress. And yet, on the other hand, maybe it's also a lack of faith sometimes that we just simply, that when we are in those situations, we need to turn our life over to God and trust in Him, and, you know, and He will provide. But here, the reason they were distressed was very obvious. If they would have followed and served God, they would have been exempt from a lot of the stress that they created. They created their own stress by doing those things which were wrong, doing those things that they'd been warned against repeatedly, and they were not obedient to God. And so we think about obedience. Why don't we just sing that hymn, number 142, because we've just read about a lot of disobedience. And where we are today, we're headed toward a land of promise, the promise of life eternal because of Jesus Christ, the hope that we all have, just as they had the hope of reaching the promised land. But we know that our hope is real and lasting. Theirs was not. Number 142. Sing what you wish of that hymn. Bow unto the Lord in prayer. Lord, we again are just thankful for the opportunity to worship this afternoon, the opportunity to be in thy house today, the opportunity to continue to learn from the greatest book that's ever been recorded, the greatest book that has been preserved down through the ages, the living word, because it's alive, it's a living word. And we're thankful we have that living word here today in our assembly. We're thankful right now. The young people, Lord, are learning from segments of this living word in Sunday school, and we pray for them. We pray for their teachers. We're thankful we have those that are willing to serve, and we pray for an atmosphere that will be conducive to their learning, that the seeds of goodness might be planted in their hearts. And now this afternoon, we pray thou would come and be in our midst as we've gathered together, that our hearts would be prepared again to receive this word. We're thankful even on this day. It's a day that thou, God, has set aside that we should worship thee. We recognize, Heavenly Father, that there's a lots of other activities with downtime we might choose to do. Heavenly Father, but what better thing can we do on this day than to gather around thy word? So we just pray for the presence of thy Holy Spirit again here this afternoon, that thou, God, would teach us as we were taught even this morning beautifully out of the book there of Romans, and being reminded certainly it's not there our righteousness, Heavenly Father, even as we remind Paul was reminding even the believers there of Rome, Heavenly Father, and we just pray that we likewise might exactly, not exactly, but we might very intently focus on this word and be thankful for our salvation, being thankful for Jesus who died, who shed his blood for our sins. We're thankful for the saving power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We're thankful he's interceding. He's on thy Father's right hand. We're thankful that each and every day that thou, God, reaches down and we can grasp thy hand. We can grasp thy hand. It's the most important that we grasp it. And to grasp thy hand, we have to have effort. There's got to be an extension of our hand, Heavenly Father. And yet we also know that there are times maybe we might become weak and downtrodden with the things of this life that we can't hardly reach. And we know that thou, God, can even extend thy hand even down to us and comfort us in so many ways and whatever those situations and circumstances might be. And we know, as we were reminded this morning, and as Brother Steve was mentioning, as of those loved ones, there's times we are down when we lose loved ones, Heavenly Father, but we're just thankful in different ways where thou, God, does reach, where the church does reach, Heavenly Father, where loved ones reach in comfort, and we're just so thankful for the body of believers. So now as we look further in thy word again, we just pray for the presence of that Holy Spirit, being reminded of the comforts that we have here today, of this wonderful environment that we have that's climate control, padded benches, good light, all those wonderful things, Heavenly Father, for our comfort. But may we also remember in our own way those that are ministering today, already have ministered in different parts of the world as darkness has fallen. The word was preached in environments a lot different than ours, and we pray for those that are doing that in distant places of the United States. We pray for those even in sorrow, and we're also grateful, as reminded this morning, of even when those in the last moment can turn unto thee, which is obviously nothing new. We can read that happening even in thy word, in the Bible, and circumstances in Jesus' last time. So just come and be in our midst this afternoon. Bless this congregation. Bless this church. Heavenly Father, what an assurance it is from a parent's perspective living many miles away to know that their children are surrounded by believers of love, and we're thankful for the love that they've extended to our family. And we just pray that would bless the leadership of the church, the ministry of this church, provide for them as only thou can do as they walk together in the unity of the love of Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Let's just read from St. Mark's Gospel this afternoon, a portion of this scripture, where we see Jesus teaching about a number of things, whether it was the rewards of discipleship, whether it was talking about people having their perspective the wrong way. He was talking about what a wonderful blessing the children can be. He talked about marriage. We also had requests in this chapter, if you recall, of people wanting to determine if it was more important where they might be able to sit. So as we look at this chapter, let's just begin reading from verse 17 from chapter 10 of St. Mark. And when Jesus was gone forth into the way, there came one running, kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that's God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, beholding him, said, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, or sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved. He had great possessions, is why. And Jesus looked round about and saith, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at those words. And Jesus answered and said, and saith, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God?" And here's his answer to that proclamation. "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Again, they were astonished, out of measure, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saying, "With men it's impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." And one of the last things Jesus did, and we might just turn then to the rest of that chapter, back to verse 46, when they came to Jericho. And he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He sat by the wayside begging. He heard it was Jesus, Nazareth, passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he cast away his garment and rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, "What wilt thou that I should do?" And the blind man said, "I might receive my sight, Lord." And Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. A beautiful ending to this chapter, in which we have many, many teachings of Jesus and all the different type of people that he helped. And we know that that as we look in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges that we read about, was about God's chosen people. And it was about after they had gone through that historic journey through the various arid portions of the Middle East and reached the Promised Land. And again, this angel came down reminding the children of Israel of where they came from. And you know, we look at that and we think about that situation, reminding them where we came from. And you know, you think about why we come to church on the Lord's Day. We come to church today to praise God. We come to church to lift up His name, to come to church and sing joyous words of praise. We come to church to fellowship and be enriched and grow. But also, we also need to be reminded, as we were this morning, as far as the most important thing that we have, this vessel that we have, this flesh that we have, we don't trust in it. We don't put our trust in it. That we keep this vessel cleansed, we keep the dirt out of it. And if the dirt gets in, how important it is that we flush it out, as Brother Steve reminded us this morning. And so, because if we don't, and we look back where we came from, because where did we come from? We came from a dirty vessel. We came from a vessel as we were born into this world as innocent children. Sin polluted us, just as a beautiful canister of water can be polluted when you put dirt in it. It might be pure water. And as we came into this world and we were polluted, and the only way that that pollution could take place and be out of our lives was the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it's because of where we come from that we think back at, that it causes us to be more appreciative of where we are today, and that we're moving forward toward the promised land. The children of Israel obviously were there, and once they got there, we know that things didn't go very good. What a contrast! Because we know this, when we reach the promised land, it's only going to get better. Because there's no sin. There's no disappointment. There's nothing in our lives. The children of Israel promised land, they still had a test. They still had a test to prove, to exemplify to the heathen nations about the wonderful, great God in heaven. And I don't know what kind of a grade you'd give them, and we don't want to be too harsh on them, but obviously it wasn't very good. God gave them this wonderful thing, a wonderful place to live, and he also said, and you can have it, I'm not going to break my covenant with you. This has been given to you. It's yours. It's yours to take care of. And one thing you need to do and remember is make no league with the inhabitants of the land. So what's a league? A league is an association. There's all kinds of leagues that we're familiar with today. We could go into the sports world. There's called major leagues, where there's the League of Nations there used to be, of which nations for a common cause are pursuing a certain goal. In that situation, it was in the League of Nations was for peace around the world. And here these nations that we're about, he says, don't make any league. And obviously, when people come together to make a league, because they're coming from different backgrounds and different situations, there's going to be a compromise. You've got to give up something. If you're going to form a league and be a part of and a common cause, and you have this common thing, there may be some things you may have to change. Well, here, that's why God did not want them to make a league. They didn't need these people. A lot of times leagues are formed because they need other associations. Businesses consolidate today because maybe one has a certain strength that the other one doesn't have. And so they form maybe not a league, but they form an association. The children of Israel had no need to form a league. They had every strength that they had given to them from the Almighty God. And God says that you should make no league. He says that, but what have you done? You've done it. You've taken some of their altars. And he says, you haven't obeyed my voice. And because of that, they're now intertwined with you, and you're going to have to deal with them. And we could go through the whole history then of the next multitude of chapters in the Bible. And what do we see? The same situation happening over and over, of where God was very displeased with them. They did evil in the sight of God. They worshipped Balaam. They worshipped Baal and Asheroth. And how many times do we read about altars of Baal were shattered? You know, in the time of Elijah comes to mind as one of them, as well as many others, in which they said they were going to, okay, we're going to get rid of it. But it didn't happen. And we are thankful that where we stand today, because of the goodness and the grace of God and the association that we have, the promises that God is always going to be with us, we have that example that we don't need to be making any leagues, we don't need to be making any compromises, but that we will look to our Almighty God, who we fully trust in our Savior that has given unto us the promise of eternal life. We don't have to ask the question like this man did here, that there was a man that has gone forth. He wasn't a poor man by any means. He had plenty of dough in his pocket. And he heard that Jesus was coming, and there was one running, and he says, "What do I do to inherit eternal life?" I don't believe today there's a one person in this building that has to ask the question, maybe there was. I saw a visitor there at noon today that maybe he was here for the first time. Maybe he comes quite a bit. I think he left now. But anyway, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? We know. Aren't we thankful and grateful that we may... We don't have to be rich. This man was rich, and yet he knew that wasn't enough. He wanted something else. He'd heard about Jesus, and when he heard about Jesus, he went running to Jesus. He kneeled before him, wanting to know that he wanted to have eternal life. He called him good master. He obviously was trying to make a good impression, maybe your kids aren't that way, but sometimes when they wanted something, they came real nice all of a sudden after the last time you remembered. Things weren't quite that cozy between your kids, and all of a sudden, so you knew something was coming. And so Jesus here says, "Why callest thou me good?" He says, "There's only one good, but perfect, that is God." And he told that man, he says, "Okay, you want eternal, this is what you want. You want eternal life, okay? You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery." He listed a whole bunch of them. "Do not kill." These are in Exodus. "Do not steal." "False witness." "Defraud." "Honor thy father and thy mother." And I'm sure this young man was probably saying, "This sounds pretty good. I've done them all." He said, "I've done all those things from my youth." And Jesus says, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way. Sell what thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and take up thy cross." And he was sad. He went away grieved. He had great possessions. He couldn't let it go. He couldn't let it go. That was more important. He did all these other things. He had all this, and he had money. And, that's... You'd have thought if he had was thinking straight, I'm not going to delve into your life here in the Indianapolis church and your giving, but how do you feel when you let loose of some of that hard-earned money that you've worked and you give it to help another person? That makes you feel better, doesn't it? If you've got the Spirit of Jesus Christ, if you're making, if you look at it like a sacrifice, "Oh, I hate to let it go," you're not going to feel good. But as you let that go, you're helping others for the cause of Jesus Christ, or even if it's a humanitarian effort, you're letting it go. It's something you can't take it with you anyway. He wanted eternal life in heaven, and did he think he was going to get to heaven and be able to take that money with us? Nobody ever has yet, and never will. But this man, he couldn't let it go. And sometimes today we still see people who can't let it go. It may not be riches. It may be other different things. It may be their pride. Pride of life, or certain things of... We heard this morning about an individual that was 70 years old, finally surrendered her will to the will of God. And again, what did it take? It took a terminal illness. And we've seen that in a number of people when they know there's nothing left here on this earth, that they finally come to the realization. But I think it's a good lesson for all of us when we think about the story that Brother Eric shared about his wife's aunt today. Because there's probably other people that you know about that are in her same situation. Have you prayed for them? Because I can't imagine the number of people in the recent weeks that prayed for her. I never heard of this, of Jody's aunt, until just about 3 weeks ago. I happened to be on a trip with some people from the Goodfield congregation, and sharing about her illness and the importance of praying. And she then became immediately on the list of many, many people's prayers. I'm convinced it was the power of prayer that gave her the grace that she, and obviously it was the Lord's will, that she could fully surrender unto the Lord and die in peace. What a beautiful thing. And it should be a lesson for all of us not to always just think about themselves or to think about somebody, I don't know, is it? They've rejected the Lord a long time. But if there's somebody right now that you know, make sure you have them on your list to keep praying for them, even though they've waited many years. Back in our home congregation, you know, I think of an individual that hadn't come to church for many, many years. Now that he's getting older, all of us, and he was very cantankerous, did lots of things that were not conducive to children of God. He ridiculed them, and now as he's getting older, and I know he's only there because of the prayers of children, people continue to pray for that individual, that he will come to the realization of the saving power of Jesus Christ. So that's, we can look at a lesson like this and we can say, how does it apply to us? It can remind us what we need to be doing in the service of God. Thankful for our salvation. Thankful we don't have to ask that question. What's it going to take to inherit eternal life? It's not our works. You know, it's the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And we are then, as we are reminded, to be in the workmanship of God. And those works follow us. Those are some of the works that we can do as far as in the service of God. Because Jesus had to tell the people, riches aren't going to get you into the kingdom. And then he shared as far as how difficult it was for those to enter the kingdom of God. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And we know that that for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, was kind of a last resort of coming in late at night for someone in the walled cities there. And it wasn't, the camel didn't go marching through. It had to drop down. And for anybody to enter the kingdom of God, we drop down. We drop down and say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated for thee. And the riches don't mean a thing. But what's the most important thing is that we let the Lord come in and be the ruler and the king of our lives. And that only happens because we today have been redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus. We have had our eyes opened. Just as we are reminded every time we have this story about the healing of blind Bartimaeus in the last part of this chapter. As Jesus and his disciples continued to walk through and interact with various people, they came to this city just a few miles from Jerusalem. He was with his disciples, and here there was this man, Bartimaeus, who again, he was begging. He was begging by the wayside. And yet, even though he was begging, he had enough knowledge and he'd heard about Jesus Christ. He got word that Jesus was coming. And he sat out and he cried. He cried out for mercy. And it says many charged him and told him to calm down. He probably was an embarrassment to a lot of people, because here was Jesus Christ coming, and they probably thought we should all show reverence and be quiet and listen to what he's going to say. We're not going to be able to hear what he's going to say if we get this guy hollering. And here he was. They charged him that he should hold his peace, but that didn't stop him, because he knew why. Why didn't he hold his peace? Why did he holler? Because he knew that Jesus had something that could help him. Just as all of us, when we were blinded by sin, we were blinded by the sin of this world, even though we might have been able to see with our eyes, and we were uncertain about the future, and yet we knew that there was one that could help us. When we cried out to Jesus and he heard us, He heard us regardless of where you, each one of you know where you were when you made that beginning, when you cried out to Jesus and said, I've had enough. I want to be able to see what the real future is of eternal life in heaven. Open my eyes that I can see. When we had that humility, when we became like the camel kneeling down, when we were ready to let all the things of this world be secondary, the most important thing would be our salvation, that relationship with God, and our sin. Our sin could be forgiven. And Jesus stood still, and he says, be of good comfort. He says, he cast away his garment. He came to Jesus. Jesus said, what do you need? And he says, I want to receive my sight. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. He followed Jesus in the way. And that's where we are today. We've received our sight. Yeah? How far away is heaven? I don't know how far it is. We heard today about the vastness of the universe. We heard today about light years. We heard today about, I can't even remember that term he talked about. Mathematics way beyond me. But anyway, the important thing is we're here and we're going to get there. I was just recently reminded of an individual taking a ferry across for an hour and a half to another section of land. And as he boarded the ferry, the weather was kind of rough. The weather was rough, but the captain said, whatever you do, keep looking at the horizon. Keep your eyes on the horizon. Even though it's going to get rough, you're going to be all right. And he kept his eyes on the horizon. Pretty soon he heard a bunch of people were getting sick, nausea, everything that goes with that. And he started turning and he looked at that. And the next thing he knew, he was starting to feel shaky and thing. And then he remembered what the captain said. He put his eyes on the horizon and he reached the shore safely, peacefully, and calmly. Because he knew that the captain of that ship knew what he was talking about. The captain of the ship was going to get him there. And we know this. The captain of our ship is Jesus Christ. And so we can look about all the things that are maybe going wrong in this world, all the things that may be making us sick when we think about it. That's what we're going to think about, because we're bombarded by the news media and whatever today. But let's don't forget to keep our eyes focused. This is part of that horizon. Taking time to read God's Word. Communicating Him in prayer. Worshiping and fellowshipping together. That's keeping our eyes. Taking our ways, the things away from the world who we don't need to make a league with. Because we've got an association. We've got a unification with the greatest person of all. That's the captain of our ship, Jesus Christ.
Looking to the horizon, what a beautiful thought. And a good place to end our day of worship. I was really struck in Judges 2 as we shared together. Brother John read here of Joshua. There in verse 7 it said in Judges 2, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. But then if you drop down a few verses, it says there arose another generation, verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And Brother John spoke of that. And so I thought, well, what's the difference there? They served the Lord during the time of Joshua and during the time of those that outlived Joshua, those that had seen the works of the Lord. And so it made me think, it made me concerned. Am I sharing the works of the Lord? That it will live to the next generation so that the next generation will know and will be confident. And I just want to close in Joshua 24 because, Joshua challenged them very specifically about this. He said in 24:15, these are familiar verses, it's a familiar verse, but a good place to end. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So may we be minded toward the next generation as Joshua was minded, not allowing that opportunity to slip. And may God add his blessing to the word we've heard in this day. Let's sing a hymn together. I'd ask a brother to now lead us on a closing prayer, please.
Dear Lord, what a wonderful privilege it has been today to be here and to sit under the sound of thy word, dear Lord. And we contrast that, unfortunately, with what's happened in the past week or so. And today, we see the contrast. we are in a congregation and we are in a body, a spiritual body, Lord, that loves you. And that everything we try to do is to praise you, to help increase people in our church and bring people to conversion, dear Father. And sometimes that's very difficult to do in a world that we live today. But dear Father, as we were saying today, we were uplifted. We're all human. We're not much different than they were 2,000 years ago. But dear Father, with thy help, with thy spirit, we are again blessed. We're blessed to be in this congregation. And dear Father, we have to look up and we have to help other people. And that's sometimes very, very difficult to do. So here we are. We're in a situation where we are blessed, and we need to be a light at the same time, and sometimes that's not very easy to do. So just help us, dear Father. Increase our faith, Lord, and just be with us until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.